Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. I always struggle with what to preach following the series. And me and my pastor talking about the other day, especially this Christmas series, and Christmas is all exciting, looking forward to Christmas, and it's easy to get people to pay attention to those kind of things, and we're all in that mindset anyway, so might as well preach on it. After Christmas, I really struggle with what to bring to you, and I want to bring something exciting to you and something good. It is scriptural, but something good and exciting from the scripture, and it's not what I have this morning, and I'm nervous. The devil's been fighting me ever since I studied yesterday, all day yesterday, and all this morning today, and but I know it's what the Lord has for us today. So Judges chapter 16, you can remain seated. I can go ahead and read a good many verses here. Chapter 16, verse number 4, go ahead and start in verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And were quiet all that night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Verse number 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, wasn't very hard to sell her on that. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. That's a normal thing for your girlfriend to say to you. Not. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then should I be weak and be as another man. And lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow, and is broken when it touches the fire. Then, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said to Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that I never were occupied, then should I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast smote me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, she nagged him and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto him, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, and she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. So it's been a little while since we've been back here in Judges. It's been a few weeks now. We took a break for the Christmas series I was preaching. And I feel like the Lord would have me pick back up here after we left off. We left off there in chapter 14. Samson getting messed up in sin with a woman of Timnath, became his wife. How he messed up his life, how he kept going down and down and down, deeper and deeper. We saw how God let him go. It's Samson's bad decisions that got him there. First he saw and he loved this woman of the Philistines instead of an Israelite woman is his first mistake. Then we saw where he was in the vineyard in Timnath. Again, not a place for a Nazarite. That's where he was. Then he was slaying a lion because he's the wrong place where he should not have been in the first place. And there he found a lion. That's why he didn't tell anybody else about it. Then he's going back and purposely sneaking the lion, again, breaking his Nazarite covenant, going back and trying to find this dead lion next time he went back. Then he went and found honey inside the carcass of the dead lion, decides to reach down inside of it, take the honey out, eat it, and then go give it to his parents and share it with them. What a nice fellow he was. Over and over again, defying himself, defying his parents without them even knowing. God still ended up accomplishing his will. He did. And he found occasion against the Philistines. God did. Yes, he did, because he is God. But does that excuse Samson's sin? Of course not. We talked about those things. Samson's sin, no way around it. And he paid a big price for that sin. We talked about that. The Philistines still were fought against because God wanted it to happen. But Samson, because of his sin, it came with consequences. He paid the consequences for his sin. What was the consequence? At this time, it was his wife was given to another man. The wife he just got, that his parents warned him against, he just had to have, and then with his big mouth and his riddle, it wasn't even really a riddle, got himself into trouble, and he faced the consequences too that she was given to another man. You would think, okay, Samson, that's the first time we heard about him. Okay, he learned it. He went off. He sowed his wild oats, so to speak. He learned his lesson. Now he's going to straighten up. That's not what happens. That's what you would think. That's not what's going to happen. Chapter 15, we'll skip over that for today. But chapter 15, we'll see Samson lose his temper. He go off and do things God never told him to do to the Philistines. It's going to cause him more trouble than he had before. Samson's going to end up slaying a bunch of Philistines with that jawbone. We know that story. God's going to get the victory. But Samson's still hurt, heartbroken, and looking in the wrong places for love over and over again. Why? Because he's not concerned about God and God's way. He's concerned about his lust and his flesh. If the Lord allows, I'd like to preach on that some other time. But today, I feel like I feel led to skip ahead to chapter 16 and look at this story of Samson we have here. Chapter 16 is the story that most people think about when they think of Samson. Everybody says Samson, they know about Delilah, know about cutting his hair. This is a story everybody thinks about with Samson. The nation of Israel, so far, we saw before, they are gone so far spiritually. They are now enslaved to the Philistines. Give you a little background here. They have no desire for God anymore at this point. God wants to use a judge to deliver them because they are his chosen people. But in all of Israel, there was not one man or woman or child alive that God wanted to entrust that job to. So God promised a son to Manoah and his wife who were barren. The best chance Israel had was a son that was not even humanly possible. And God brought him out. So they have a son, and God gives strict orders to raise him as a Nazarite. He can't shave his head. He can't touch dead bodies. He can't drink of the vine or eat of the vine or touch the vine. He can't have grape juice. He can't have wine. He can't have grapes. He can't even have raisins. He has to stay away from all those things. Why? Is grapes and raisins a sin? Raisins are a little bit of a sin, if you ask me, but not technically. They're not a sin. The book of Numbers gives us the requirements for this vow of a Nazarite. It's just a vow. It's just a promise to God that you're going to live differently. You're going to live separated. You're going to be different than the rest of the Israelites. You're going to separate yourself that much more to God, above and beyond the normal sacrifice and things of Israel. You're going to live separated even more than the rest of Israel to God for his service. That's the way Samson was raised. That's what he was supposed to be. That's the orders given by God. Since he has grown, the first thing we see about him is he has an eye problem. He has a lust problem. He goes and sees a woman in Timnath, and she pleased him well. He just thought she was pretty. He didn't even talk to her at this point yet. And he immediately demanded his parents to go get her for him to wife. He has a problem. And we looked at that problem all in chapter 14. We've already preached on all that. Samson messes himself up, gets himself in predicaments, gets himself in trouble. Why? Because he has his own sinful desires. His own wicked flesh. Sounds like a bunch of us, doesn't it? Is God going to turn this thing around and use it for his glory in Samson's life, take care of some Philistines? Yes, he is. Is that what we're supposed to be aiming for with our life? No, it's not. Samson's not the bar to measure your life by. God can take our mess and do something miraculously, get the glory out of it. Yes, he can. But that's not the way I want to live. Samson's not the measuring stick we should measure ourselves by. I don't know about you. I don't want God to have to do his work in spite of me. I want to be able to be part of his work. Also, don't want to be stuck with the consequences later like Samson was. Today, we're going to see another instance where Samson has some trouble with his lust of his flesh. He couldn't get a handle on his flesh, his lust in his eyes. He would not refuse to get a handle on it. And it's really going to hurt him this time. So the Lord's going to preach just a few minutes this morning on this thought. It's time to cut it loose. No pun intended with his hair. Verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. It came to pass afterward. After what? We already read it earlier, but first three verses of chapter 16, Samson's already gotten himself into trouble again. The second trouble with a woman, verse 1, and Samson went to Gaza, saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all the night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. That's a big, impressive thing he did. It's impressive. Samson, again, with his lust problem, with his eye problem, his sin problem. He saw another woman. This time there is no mistaking it. He can't claim love on this one. She is very plainly labeled in Scripture as a harlot. This is strictly the lust of his flesh. He does not love this woman. He's lusting after her. He was down in Gaza. Why was he in Gaza? I don't know for sure. At the end of chapter 15, he's judging Israel for 20 years. Is that why he was there? Maybe. Maybe he's there looking for trouble. Maybe he's there looking for a harlot. I don't know. Either way, he again fails to this temptation. It's his fault. We know in James, we can't blame God for our sins, can't blame God for our temptations. Many times we say things like, well, that's just the way God made me. God made you a man. God didn't make you a pervert. There's a big difference there. It's your sin nature and your lack of seeking God that makes you fall into the sin like this. There is always a way of escape for the child of God. He is faithful to give us a way of escape, the Bible says. So Samson, his own choices, saw in harlot and said, I want to go sin with that woman. And that's what he did. You say, well, it wasn't Samson's fault. She wasn't dressed right. Of course not. She's a harlot. Of course she doesn't dress right. She's a harlot. But Samson went in unto her. He made that choice himself. He chose to sin, and he got himself in trouble. I'm tired of hearing people how they've fallen into sin. You don't fall into sin. You see a temptation. Instead of seeking God's face, you choose to jump into that sin. You have a choice to make. You have the opportunity to get out of that thing. God will give you a way of escape. He promises you. He's faithful to do that. He gives you a way of escape. You don't fall into sin. You don't fall into love either. You got to jump into both of them. Samson, he sins again. Then the enemy finds out, and they always find out. And Samson rose at midnight and carried the doors of the gate of the city and the post and the whole thing on shoulders up to the top of the hill outside the city. What happened? God allowed him to survive his sin again because God's long-suffering. Did God condone his sin with the harlot? Of course not. And Samson is one woman away from completely losing everything he's had so far. God is still long-suffering. That's what happened in the beginning of chapter 16, verse number 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Samson gets done with his harlot. He gets out of there. He gets away with sin one more time, immediately back chasing after a Philistine woman, listening to the lust of his flesh again before the Lord, before he listens to the Lord. Samson meets another Philistine, this one by the name of Delilah. She's going to be so much trouble for Samson, as we just read. Samson's going to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get things right and get out of there. He's not going to do it. So let me take a look at this chapter. It's very easy to outline this. It does it for us. Number one, we see his first warning. He should have realized this is the problem. He got out of there at the beginning, verse number 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, there's some background details here that the Bible does not clearly give us in the Scripture. We just don't know how long it's been. We don't know. We know it says Samson loved this woman named Delilah, but apparently they've been together for at least a little bit of time now, because now the lords of Philistines know that to find Samson, they have to find Delilah. They know to get to Samson, they must get to Delilah first. This is not a quick sin like it was with a harlot. This is a long-term thing. That he didn't just fall in sin and get right and get back out. He's been with her. They know if they want to find Samson, they got to go through Delilah. In these verses here, we see where Delilah's loyalty lies. The same exact problem he had with his last wife in Timnath in chapter 14. She was loyal to the Philistines. Young men, take note. If you marry a Philistine, don't be surprised when you're loyal to the Philistines. You go and marry someone of a different denomination, especially one of the cult religions, don't be surprised if her loyalty goes a lot deeper than her loyalty to you. Be careful what you're doing. Careful who you marry. So these lords of the Philistines, they come in and they bribe Delilah, and she quickly agrees to betray Samson for however much of these 1,100 pieces of silver they're going to give her. And it says, we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. I believe it means every one of them was going to give her 1,100 pieces of silver. How much is that? I don't know. We don't know how many lords of the Philistines came and talked to her. And no one really has a clear answer to how much 1,100 pieces of silver is worth. In my opinion, it sounds like quite a large sum of money. So they bribe Delilah, and she agrees very quickly. She takes the money, takes the promise to give the money. So she goes to Samson. In verse 6, and she says, basically, tell me why you're so strong and how I can tie you up so I can hurt you. It's basically what she says. No, why in the world would I do that? Why would you do that? Why do you think that's okay? So it'll be Samson's first clue here. Okay, I might not be in the right place here. Another point, Everyone always paints this picture of Samson as this big, strong, bulky character. If that were true, she would not be asking where his strength lieth. If he looked like the Hulk, no one would be wondering why he could do what he did. I believe he's just an average-looking guy. And she says, how can I destroy you? It's basically what she's asking him. Dumb old Samson, verse 7. Samson and her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then should I be weak and be as another man. Samson knows this is not good. He knows he's in the wrong place. He knows he's in sin. He's doing the wrong thing and with the wrong people. Instead of leaving, getting things right, he decides to lie to her. We know this is, he knows this is not good because he's lying. He knows he doesn't need to tell her, so he's lying to her. He knows this is a bad idea, but she's just so pretty, apparently, in his eyes, that he can't get it. He won't get up and leave. Is that the way we are? Is that not the way we are with sin? Oh, I know it's wrong. I know it shouldn't do it, but just one more time, just one more lie to be okay. Just one more lie to cover it up, and I'll fix it after that and be all okay. Just this one last sin with Delilah, and it'll all be okay after that. Verse number 8. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said, and the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He break the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so the strength was not known. So these lords of the Philistines, they go, they get these little green branches, and they apparently let her tie him up. He lets her tie him up. And one other instance, he wakes up. It doesn't say that right here. I don't know if he's asleep. I don't know if he's just letting her do it. The Bible doesn't say. Whatever the case, she ties him up. And, of course, the Philistines are there sitting and waiting. Big surprise there. Abiding in her chamber, hiding in the bedroom. She screams out, the Philistines are going to get you, Samson. He jumps up and breaks the withs, and the strength is not known. That was a close one. He knew he was wrong. He knew he lied. He knew he messed up. But I got away with it this time. Away with it one more time. That was a close one. I almost got caught drinking that thing. And I went, well, my parents almost caught me watching this or listening to that, or doing this or doing that. That was a close one. My wife almost caught me looking at that other woman. That was a close one. My wife almost left me again. My husband almost left me again. That was a close one. But it's okay. We got away with it this time. Don't let your escape from being caught in sin keep you in sin. If you're doing something you don't want somebody else to know about because you're afraid of what they might think of you, you have no business doing it. You have to do it in secret. You ought not be doing it. That was a close one. Just because you got away with it this time doesn't mean you'll get away with it next time, as we'll see here today. It's time to cut it loose. You know what Samson should have done after that? We all can look at this now and see what he should have done. He said, okay, this woman's trying to kill me. I better get my stuff and get out of here. That's what he should have done. Not Samson. He's arrogant. He thinks he's stronger than everybody else, and he's blinded by his lust. Samson's blinded by his sin. He is blinded by his lust. He thinks it's okay. He's going to be okay. He's going to get out of this thing. What he's really doing is he's just getting deeper and deeper and deeper in sin and more trouble. You say, I'm okay. I didn't get caught. You're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. See his first warning. Number 2, very simple. We see his second warning. Verse 10. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Seriously? Behold, thou hast mocked me. You just tried to kill me. And I'm the bad guy. It's basically what's going on here. How does this even fit into the head of Samson like this is okay? He knows it's not okay. Yeah, he's still there. What is wrong with this guy? I tell you what's wrong with him. He's addicted to his sin. Addicted to a lot of addictions. They don't always have to be logical. They don't have to make sense. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't do that. I know this is bad for me and bad for my health or bad for my mind or bad for my family or bad for me spiritually. But yet we still do it. Some are addicted to drugs. Some are addicted to alcohol. Some are addicted to cigarettes. Some are addicted to pornography. Some are addicted to anger. Some are addicted to spending money. Some are addicted to too much food. We all have addictions. Addictions don't have to make sense. We just justify them in our minds. Does that mean there is no hope? Of course not. I already said it many times. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as the common to man. But God is faithful, who will not serve you to be tempted above that you are able, but with a temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There is always another option. There's always a way out. God said he is faithful to give you that. If you're a child of God, he's going to give you a way of escape. It cannot handle you. If you trust the Lord, if you follow the Lord, you can get out of it. But for Samson, he continues down this road of sin and lies and trouble over and over again. Verse 10, Judges 16:10. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou must be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. So I therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off from his arms like a thread. Samson getting closer and closer to telling her the truth and ruining his life. I got away with it last time. Just one more sin. One little more sin. It won't hurt any more than it did last time. So she listened to him. She did it. She bound him with new ropes. Big surprise. The Philistines are waiting for him. And again, he broke them off. He said, okay, Delilah, that's it. I'm out of here. Not Samson. We see an obvious pattern here. And on the outside, we're looking in. We say, Samson, wake up, stupid. She's trying to kill you. What's wrong with you? But yet, if all of our sins were out in the open like Samson's are, we could probably look in our own sin to say the same thing. Wake up. Don't you see the trouble you're causing for yourself? Don't you see the trouble you're causing for your family? Wake up. Watch out for the Philistines. It's time for him to cut her loose. It's time to get out of there. Wake up. See, his second warning didn't go any further than the first warning. Pretty soon your sin will just seem normal. You see his third warning, verse number 13. Delilah said to Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said to her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. Why on earth would Samson get this close to his secret? Why would he do that? Because he's addicted to his sin. Here she goes again. Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Well, of course I did. You're trying to kill me. Try to kill him twice, and he's still the one in the wrong. It's the same way with sin. Sin doesn't care how it affects you. You're always going to end up being the bad guy. Sin doesn't take any blame. It's always going to be on you. Satan will tempt you and give you every opportunity he can to trip you up, but you will always be the one ending up the bad guy if you fall into temptation. You'll always be the one taking the fall, taking the blame. Over and over again, Delilah literally tried to kill Samson, and he's still the one getting blamed. That's the way sin works every time. You're not going to outsmart sin. You're not going to maneuver your way around it. It will always, always win if you give in to temptations. And now dumb old Samson is getting closer and closer to giving away his secret. Why on earth would he even mention his hair? Why would he do that? He's not thinking straight anymore. He's making dumb decisions. Why? Because he's now blinded by the sin of Delilah. You don't understand, preacher. She makes me happy. She's trying to kill you. Verse 14. And she fastened it with the pin and said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. So she takes the 7 locks of his hair. I don't know what all that means. He's never had a haircut in his life. We know that. Apparently, he has 7 different sections of his hair, which sounds really disgusting to me. And braids or dreads, I don't know what it was. 7 different parts of his hair. And she takes it and fastens it to this web, which just means a spreading out or something. It's spent like a loom for a weaving. So she ties his hair into this crazy web loom thing, and he goes off to sleep. Or she does it while he's sleeping. I don't know, but I'm not sure. Like always, she says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He gets up, wakes up, and something changed here in this instance. Normally, he just gets up. Notice what it says. It says he went away with a pin of the beam and with the web. It's like he almost got the point. Almost got up and left. He went away with it. He said, okay, I've had it. If it's 3 times now you've tried to kill me. She's getting closer and closer every time he got up, and something else happened. It's like us with sin. We get to the point, we say, okay, I've had it. I'm done with this mess. All it does is cost me money and hurt me and cost me happiness. I'm done with it. We go to the altar on Sunday morning. We say, okay, I'm done with this, Lord. You can take it. Lord, please help me with this. Lord, I want to get this right. Lord, please help. Give me the strength to get rid of this. But then Monday rolls around. Samson gets up. He goes out. He doesn't leave. We see his final mistake, verse number 15. He said to him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. She's digging deeper. He was just about to kick her to the curb from the sound of things. He got up to go away and she said, how canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? You don't love me anyway, Samson. You won't even let me kill you for some reason, for some money. This is basically what she's saying here. He's going along with it. How canst thou say I love thee? You don't love me. You're just a fanatic now. You're just one of those Israelites. You're just one of those holy rollers. A little sin here and there never hurt anybody. Well, that's what Satan will tell you every time. You don't love me. You don't care for me. If you're really a good friend, you come hang out with me instead of going to church. You don't love me. If you're a really good husband or daddy or mama, you do this or that instead of attending church. You don't love me. That's what she told him. Notice verse 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so the soul was vexed unto death. He held out for a little while, but he didn't leave. That's the way sin works. If you don't get rid of it, it's going to keep on nagging you and nagging you and nagging. Eventually, you're going to give in to it. You're best off getting away from it, removing the temptation altogether, removing the opportunity to sin. Get rid of it, because it's just going to keep nagging at you and picking at you and scratching at you until you're going to give in to it. That's what she did here. There's only one thing stronger than Samson's strength, and that's still how it was nagging, apparently. She pressed him daily with her words, vexed unto death. She nagged him every day unto death. He would rather die. He would do whatever he had to do just to get her to be quiet. Why? She wants her money. It's a good wife material there. She doesn't love him. Sin doesn't care about you. Satan does not care about you. He wants your soul. That girl out in the world, she doesn't care about you, young man. Not the way she should. Don't let the devil fool you into believing it. If they're trying to draw you away from God, from the things of God, then they are no better than Delilah trying to kill Samson for a prophet. Don't let them fool you. Don't fall for it. The next verse here is one of Samson's biggest mistakes of his life. And it will literally lead to the death of him, lead to his death. Don't you let sin fool you into thinking that you're going to be okay. Your sin will always find you out and always bring consequences. Don't let you getting away with sin convince you the next sin won't get you. One sin always leads to another sin, always leads to another sin and another. They always get worse and worse and worse. Once you get the taste won't even satisfy you the same. Next time, you're going to need more and more to satisfy your lust. Serial killers usually don't start out that way. It builds and it builds and it builds till they get to that point. Child molesters don't start out that way. They start with one sexual sin and it builds to another and another. And the lust of their flesh gets more and more callous, so they need more and more to sin to satisfy it. Christian, you don't want to open that can of worms. It only gets deeper and it gets nastier and it only gets you farther and farther away from God. Samson started with a woman at Timnath, and then he went to a harlot. Now he's with this woman at Delilah that wants to kill him for a prophet. It only gets worse. Samson has convinced himself that this is okay. Why? Because he desires Delilah. Are you hopeless at this point? Of course not. God can bring you out of there. Not as long as you're dwelling in Delilah's house and answering her every wish. Get up and get out of there and follow. Get away from the sin. Get away from it and follow after. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you, James says. It's in that order for a reason. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded, says the rest of that verse. Follow after God. Clean up your mind. Clean your hands. Purify your hearts. Follow after God again. He'll draw nigh to you, but not Samson. Verse 17. She's been nagging him to death. Verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not a come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarene unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. There you have it. He finally gives in. But he's putting his faith in the wrong thing again. The strength came from his separation to God. The strength came from his covenant to God. He credits the hair for the strength. Once that covenant is gone, that hair is cut, the covenant is gone, the promise to God was broken, so went his strength. Verse 18. When Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. She knew it was different this time. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and strength went from him. It was different than last time. She knew she had him this time, for he has showed me all his heart. They came and brought their money with them. She said, come on now, pay up. I've got him now, trust me. I've got him this time. You just come on and bring your scissors. And she made him sleep upon her knees. He laid down her lap and went to sleep. A man came, shaved his head. Notice what it says in verse number 19. The Philistine men didn't afflict him in that verse. The men that cut his hair didn't afflict him in that verse. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. The very thing that he thought he loved, Delilah, is now the thing that is harming him, is going to lead to his death eventually. The great and powerful Samson being afflicted by little old Delilah. Why? Because he went too far in sin. He left God. He just messed up way too many times, and now he's broken his covenant with God, and God stepped away for a little while. If you don't listen, okay. Over and over again, Samson wants his sin. He finally breaks his promise. God just steps away. They ought to scare us to death. Samson doesn't even know how bad of a situation he's in yet. Verse number 20, and she said, this Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, Lord, was departed from him. He woke up, he said, I'll just believe like I did last time. But uh-oh, Lord was departed from him. How do you know he went too far? After it was too late. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here. You cannot, once you're saved, once you're in the fold, you cannot leave the fold. You can't lose your salvation. I'm not talking about that today. I've heard of people messing up and sin, rebelling against God, and it wasn't long. They God judged them. They died in a car or whatever it was. I've seen, heard many stories over and over again about that. God will allow you to mess up. God will judge you for that. Once saved, always saved. I believe that. God's not going to deal with your stupidity and rebellion forever. He's not going to let you mock him for forever. God is not mocked. Whatsoever I sow, that shall I also reap. How long can you ignore the call of the Holy Ghost before the Holy Ghost turns and walks away? How long can you ignore God before he turns? You don't know until it's too late. How much sin is too much sin? Where will the line be drawn? Here's a better question. Why would he even start? Why would we even start to sin in the first place? When is it too late? You're not going to know until it happens. Samson went too far, and now he's expecting to all be okay like it was last time, the time before, and the time before. This time God's not there. What happens? Verse 21. Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to gaze and bound him with fetters of brass and he grind in the prison house. Chapter 14, the first thing we see, Samson saw a woman in Timnath. Beginning of chapter 16, he sees a harlot. Verse 4, he sees Delilah. Samson has an eye problem. What did he lose? Philistines plucked his eyes out. Plucked his eyes out, took him to the prison house, tied him to a millstone, like a donkey or a mule. So now he's just pushing this millstone around a circle day in and day out like a mule. He's blind. He can't see a thing. Doesn't have any strength. His hair is gone. His prestige is gone. His great Samson, great man Samson in Israel, he's nothing anymore. Just in the bottom of a prison house, milling with a millstone. He's tied to the millstone. He wakes up, pushes the millstone around, goes back to bed. Wakes up, does it again. Wakes up, does some drugs, goes to party, does some more, do this or do that. Goes back, wakes up, looks at more pornography, do this, do that, go back, wake up, do this, do that. Miserable, miserable life to live. Wakes up, mills the millstone, goes back to bed. He's blind now, he can't see any hope. He's just pushing over and over and over again, just pushing through life. Miserable, dark, damp, prison house life he's living. What got him there? That first look, and then another, and another, then a lie, then another lie, and another lie. This truth about his covenant with God, he got in trouble there. Now he's in the prison house day in and day out, just milling, wasting his life away, pushing a rock around in a circle. That's what sin will do to you. Young people, listen to me. There's no life in sin. It may be fun for a season. Pretty soon you're just going to be pushing a rock around in a circle, milling your life away with your eyes plucked down, pushing every day just to survive, just around again one more time just to survive. Sin never has a happy ending. It may start out fun. Sin may be fun for a season, but it has an ending. You're not going to realize until you're not realize your condition until you decide to turn. You're not going to fix your condition until you decide to turn it around. Well, that's it, right? Samson just ruined his life. Never do anything else for God. That's not the case. God is a long-suffering God. And he will allow you to get into sin and get yourself into trouble. If you don't listen, he'll let you not listen. Let you go your own way. And I thank God, he's long-suffering. You want to be there when you hit rock bottom. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Samson is blind. Samson is bald. No offense. Samson's broken down in the jailhouse pushing a millstone. Verse 22, howbeit. What happened? He finally got his sin problem under control because he didn't have any other choice. He can't see anymore. He has hit rock bottom, literally rock bottom, and his hair is starting to grow back. And God's not done with him yet. We have people here that have lived out in sin, lived doing drugs and liquor and whatever other sins you want to add in there. I know because you've told me, just living that life, just pushing that millstone around in circles over and over again. But God got a hold of your life. Now you're in church today. I don't know where you're at today. I pray everyone is still at the beginning of this chapter or before this chapter. Maybe you haven't messed up in sin. I hope you haven't. Let me warn you here as clearly as I can. Stay away from it. Don't go any further. Young people, stay away from it. Get things right now. Fix it now. Don't go any further. It's only going to go deeper and deeper and further and get you more and more in trouble. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. You've messed up in sin. You still have a chance to get things right. Just listen to you. Look what's going on around you. She's trying to kill you. Satan is trying to destroy you. Wake up. Open your eyes before you lose them. You say, I don't know how to get out of here. Just give it to God. He'll show you the door. First Corinthians says so. He'll give you a way of escape. Maybe you're like Samson, you have reached rock bottom. Maybe you're in that prison house. You're just milling away day in and day out, living in the filth, blinded by sin over and over again, a miserable life. Can I encourage you today? There's still hope for you. Your hair, so to speak, can start growing again. Maybe, just maybe you're none of those. Can I encourage you today? Why don't you go find another Samson? Try to encourage him to come out of there, trying to encourage him to turn it around. Go down to the prison house and find someone blinded by sin, just milling away and show them there's an opportunity to get things right, opportunity to get out of there. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you would. Nobody looking around. I'm going to ask you something this morning that's vitally important to your eternity. If you died right now, you know for sure where you would go. Do you know for sure? It says in Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. Have you ever done that? If not, today would be a good day. Holy Spirit's dealing with you this morning to get things settled. I can't save you. If I could save you, I would. We've done it a long time ago, but I can't do it. The Holy Ghost is working on your heart again. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it again. Samson got opportunity after opportunity and kept passing up. Don't pass your opportunity up. Maybe you're saved this morning. If you took your last breath, walking those doors today, where would you wake up? Are you saved? And you get that settled. Maybe you are saved. Maybe you've fallen into sin. How many times is it going to take how many warnings are you going to have to get before you get things right? How far down are you going to have to go before you turn around and get out of there? Why are you still there? Why are you still listening? Why are you still obeying Delilah's every command? Open your eyes before you don't have any eyes left to open. Who wants to live a life tied to a millstone of sin? How miserable would that be? Yet people do it every day. They're tied to their sin. It's ruined their lives, and they're just tied to it and just pushing around in circles day in and day out over and over and over again. You don't want to live that way. You don't want to go that far. If you have gone that far, you can get out. The altar's open this morning. I don't know if anybody needs this or not. The altar's open this morning. I hope it's just a warning to keep you out of sin. The devil makes it look fun. The devil makes it look okay. It's always, always going to end in destruction for you. You better get out while you can. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for having given us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for our people. Lord, I pray any lost here with us today, Lord, if there is, Lord, I pray you save them for a service lasting too late. Lord, I pray you wouldn't let them forget it. Lord, I pray you convict them. Lord, if there happens to be any in sin, Lord, I pray you convict them about it, Lord. Lord, wouldn't let them sleep. Lord, I pray they get it right before it's too late, if they mess themselves up deeper and deeper in sin. Lord, I pray you guard us, Lord, and protect us. Lord, help us to seek after you in Jesus' name.